Our next scripture passage is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 through 19. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Let us pray. O holy God, who has made us holy through Jesus' own blood, as we continue to look for that city that is to come, we're here again to offer our sacrifice of praise, and part of that is our attentiveness to what you're saying to us. Help us now to hear and to be obedient to what we hear. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. When you come into our church, you aren't just greeted by live people. You're also greeted by those who have died in the Lord. They aren't here visibly standing before you, but they are present by name. Their names appear on plaques that are on one of the walls there in our church vestibule. These are men and women who are remembered for their faithful commitment to and their generosity toward and their participation in different parts of our church's life and ministry. Maybe buildings and grounds, maybe deacon ministry, maybe the life of worship we have here at our church, Christian education, music, service to the community, honored in these different kinds of categories. And the largest item there on our wall is one that contains the names of deacons, some of whom have died. Even though they're no longer here with us in the way that they were before, we're still connected to them in Christian fellowship through the Son. We continue to learn from and live by their own example in lots of different ways as we continue our journey of faith. Today's scripture passage says, remember your leaders. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. According to the writer of Hebrews, there are many things that are worthy of being emulated about those who have died in the Lord, about previous leaders, in particular their faith and the kinds of lives it produced, lives that were attentive to what God was saying through the Son, lives that were centered on Jesus Christ and his cross. Through these godly leaders who may no longer be with them, there's the fact that Jesus still is, and thus that memorable statement, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John Wesley was an 18th century evangelist and pastor, and he and his brother Charles wrote several of the songs that are here in our hymn book. In Westminster Abbey, where John Wesley is buried, on his memorial marker, there's this inscription: God buries his workmen, but carries on his work. God buries his workmen, but carries on his work. I think that's part of what the writer of Hebrews is trying to convey to the hearers in our scripture passage that we have here this morning. Though many things may change in the life of the church, including many of the church's own people, the Lord himself, we're told, is unchanging. That's why he needs to be the focal point, the center of things, which also means that a life of godliness is a life that points away from itself and toward the Lord. As one pastor has put it, memories of godly lives help best when they turn us to the one who never needs to be replaced and who is permanently available to his people. Now remember this morning that we, as God's people in Christ, are still on our journey of faith toward the heavenly destination that God has promised to his people. And in order to persevere in faith, we need not only this Christ-like example that's provided by those who are deceased, but also the Christ-like example that's provided by those who are living and still with us, still at our side, still standing in front of us Sunday by Sunday before the congregation. And in one sense, I mean that literally, especially when it comes to our deacons. It's no minor thing that after our opening praise music, the first person you see up here on Sunday morning isn't myself, but one of the men and women known as Deacon of the Month. Deacon of the Month. It's not meant to be a flashy kind of title indicating that they get a special parking space closer to the door of the church, or, you know, a higher profile position up here in the centerpiece of our worship space, the pulpit. That's not what it's really about when we speak of the Deacon of the Month. It simply means that on each Sunday for that particular month, that particular man or woman has the sacred and significant responsibility of helping lead us into the presence of God. Into the presence of God. That's because Jesus' death has secured, we're told, our forgiveness and restored our communion with God. We have access to the Father through the death of the Son, the sacrifice of the Son. So as today's text says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And our deacons have a vital role to play in helping us offer that weekly sacrifice of praise. For instance, like I said, a deacon greets you and helps you share your prayer requests, announcements, share joys and concerns. Then he or she does something especially significant by leading the call to worship, normally a passage from one of the Psalms that helps gather us into the presence of God. And then a deacon helps lead in an opening prayer that acknowledges God's presence and calls us to come into the presence of God, to be with us, God, in our worship. Put all those pieces together, and you can see how that deacon is charged really with the responsibility to sum up the purpose of this worship gathering, to sort of gather up why we're here and what we're doing here when we come together on the Lord's Day. Come and worship the Lord. Come and worship the Lord. Now, you may have noticed as I was talking there about the deacon's responsibilities and leading us into God's presence that that word, lead, came up regularly. The deacon leads us into God's presence, leads us into sharing our joys and our concerns and our announcements and our prayer requests, leads us in scripture, leads us in a call to worship, leads us in prayer. When the deacon stands up here before us on Sunday morning, he or she is fulfilling a call to leadership. And that includes not only leadership in our worship life as God's people, but leadership in all the other kinds of things that are part of a deacon's ministry when it comes to caring for the people in the church, or sharing the gospel with unbelievers, or renewing the gospel in the lives of believers, or maybe ministry to financial or material needs, or maybe cultivating the unity and the health of the whole congregation, or maybe being consultants in a way on matters of church administration, all these kinds of things. Deacons are expected to serve as leaders. They're called upon to sort of be out front, ahead of the congregation, helping chart the way as we continue and persevere on our journey of faith toward that heavenly destination of promise and God's purposes in Christ. And as deacons do that, they're supposed to be doing that in a way that models the servanthood of Christ. The servanthood of Christ, in other words, a deacon's life and ministry inside the church and outside the church should embody and exemplify the self-giving, self-sacrificing, self-offering love of Christ that reconciles and restores and renews our fellowship with God and with each other. That doesn't mean, though, that because a deacon is a servant leader, that there's no power, there's no authority involved. Actually, if you listen to today's scripture passage, the writer of the Hebrews exhorts the members of the congregation to, quote, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Now, though in this context the term leaders doesn't refer specifically to deacons in this particular case, the issue of authority, power, these things still apply and should be shaped most of all by the teaching of Jesus and the example of Jesus. For instance, when some of Jesus' own disciples, were told there in the Gospels, some of his own disciples were debating among themselves about who would get the places of prime authority in his coming kingdom, you may remember that Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Couple that with the story of how Jesus washed the feet of his own disciples, and you begin to see how power and authority were exercised in the life of Jesus himself and what that means for us in our own lives. How Jesus exercised power, yes, authority, yes, but without regard for status or privilege. In other words, Jesus doesn't reject power. He just rejects the way that power is used to protect ourselves, exalt ourselves, secure ourselves, raise our own status. Power isn't to be used, we're told, in the life of the church to exalt ourselves, to raise ourselves or elevate ourselves. On the contrary, power in the life of Christ, in the life of the church, is to be used to bless and to serve, to enable others to flourish in Christ in the way that God intends them to. I like the way that Andy Crouch puts it when he said, power isn't the opposite of servanthood. Rather, servanthood, ensuring the flourishing of others, is the very purpose of power. Power used to bless, to serve, to enable the flourishing of others. I think we see that reflected in our passage here today from Hebrews. Right after exhorting the hearers to acknowledge the power and authority of your leaders, submit to their leadership, the writer reminds them that these leaders, quote, keep watch over you as those who must give an account. They are folks who keep watch over you as those who must give an account. That phrase, keep watch over, has to do with staying alert, looking out for the kinds of things that could deceive folks in the church, lead believers astray, hinder them from becoming who God intends them to be in Christ. There's a story told about one man. He spotted a fellow who was guiding a group of sheep across a field, but he noticed that the man basically had his stick and he was just beating his stick, staying behind them, and he said, "You're a shepherd, aren't you? Aren't shepherds supposed to lead the sheep?" He said, "Yes, shepherds are, but I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher." Remember that deacons are called to be shepherds, to lead you toward well-being, toward flourishing in Christ, not to drive you toward harm or diminishment in their life and ministry. A fundamental part of deacon ministry is to keep watch over your lives individually in Christ and our life together as a congregation, ensuring that we stay faithful to the gospel, that we spread the good news of the kingdom in the world, that we grow and mature spiritually, and that we flourish as a community of believers in our life of worship, our life of working together, our life of witnessing to the world in Christ. And what's more, according to our scripture passage, each of our deacons is expected to carry out his or her ministry with a strong sense of accountability. Accountability to God primarily, who has called them into this place of servant leadership and empowers them for their work, and accountability to you as the congregation who have affirmed them in their call and pledged your own prayerful, loving encouragement and support to them in their deacon ministry that God has entrusted to them. Deacons, I think, realize that they must answer to God for how they use their power and their authority. They have a deep sense of this call to lead and to lead faithfully, wisely, and lovingly in their deacon ministry. In order for that to happen, there has to be not only accountability to God, accountability to you, but some mutual accountability as well, in that you are responsive to their ministry and that you participate in the various forms of work in their ministry that they offer to you and to the church, so that they can flourish in what they're trying to do as they try to help you flourish in Christ in what you're trying to do in the life of the church. It's no wonder that the writer of Hebrews in our scripture passage today tells the hearers to obey their leaders, quote, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So that their work will be a joy. In his book, Wind and Fire, Bruce Larson talks about some of the primary characteristics of a type of bird known as the sandhill cranes. Sandhill cranes are birds that can fly for great distances across continents, in fact, and they have, as he puts it, three remarkable qualities. First, they rotate leadership so that no one of them has to stay out front all the time. That's part of it. Second, they choose leaders who can handle turbulence. Choose leaders who handle turbulence. And thirdly, all during the time one bird is leading, all the others are honking their affirmation. That strikes me as a good type of model for life in the church, leadership in the church, and especially the ministry of deacon leadership, servanthood leadership in the life of the church. We know that in all ways, but especially in deacon ministry and leadership as pastor, that leadership needs to be shared. We know that we need leaders who can deal with turbulence and handle turbulence. But we also know, most of all, that we need the kind of fellowship as a whole church where we're continually honking our affirmation in whatever form that takes to those who are leading and guiding and shepherding. Today, we're preparing to go into a time of the year where we select deacons to lead our congregation. This process of choosing these spiritual leaders is one of the most significant events in the life of our congregation, no matter how many times we've been through this particular process. So as we get ready to begin this sort of journey of discernment and attentiveness to God's call in our lives individually and God's call in our life together as a congregation, remember that these are individuals who will be offering their lives to God's service so that they can help lead us to offer our lives as well, as a whole, as a congregation, to God's service, making our own offering, our own sacrifices to God. And our sacrifices include worship, making the gospel known in the world, caring for the needy, service to the community, growing in generosity toward God and to one another. These are the kinds of offerings that are pleasing to God. So as we go further into this process of discerning and attentiveness to God's call and to God's guidance, with those types of sacrifices in mind, let's offer ourselves, first of all, now in prayer, because we need to seek God's leadership about those who will lead us. Let's pray.